people think I'm white. I'm actually Persian, which is just something people from Iran say to confuse dumb white people. Oh, you're from Persia? Oh my God. Honey, get out here. It's all right. Woo, he's from Persia. Holy shit. My God, we thought you were from Iran. Holy shit.
Anytime, like, Millie, you're recording, you're eating a whole bag of, like, Lava Shack candy, I know you're unwell. Like, something's up.
I'm unwell, so yes.
Tell us what's wrong, Millie. Tell the audience why you're eating
Lava Shack. Well, no, I mean, like, first and foremost, I'm physically unwell from eating all the Lava Shack. Like, I had, like, a 48-hour ulcer acid reflux episode. It was to the point where, like, I thought my rib cage was gonna collapse. But then I got to a point at, like, midnight where I was like, I'm already in so much pain, it can't get worse, let me at least enjoy some Lava Shack. And I tried to fight the feeling, but I was like, YOLO.
That's like someone with, like, liver failure being like, let me just enjoy 10 more drinks.
Yeah.
Really, that's not how people are supposed to live life. That's not how you, like, fix things.
We're gonna die anyways.
Oh, so die suffering?
As Cedar said in our last episode, where nothing means anything anymore. That was, like, my favorite takeaway.
This is all a simulation.
No, not in that sense. I don't subscribe to that. What are you eating? Was that
hormone? I'm having dates. Yeah.
Oh.
We're just going to have, like, a whole ASMR episode. It's okay. This isn't Persian Hanum podcast, okay? This is Persian Girl podcast. We're just girls.
Whoa. We should make that. That'll be the title of our next solo episode. I guess let's do a little intro now. We're back with another episode. Whatever.
Wow, what a great intro.
Wait, why was this? Oh, okay. No, but, like, actually, we were thinking about, like, we can start posting clips more often onto our feed, and I would love to have a discussion where we hear what our listeners think about what we discuss in the episodes. And we don't want people to be afraid to share their opinions, of course, if it's done so respectfully.
Yeah, But even if your opinion, like, goes against, like, we're not looking for everyone to agree with us or say that, like, what we're saying is accurate or correct. Even if your opinion goes against things that we've said during the episode, we'd like to hear back from you. And, like, we can anonymously post people's comments to our stories and just, like, kind of start a discussion and see how other people feel about our episodes. Because,
yeah, we just want an open dialogue.
We're not here to, like, be delusional and think that everyone's going to agree with everything we're saying. Like, we want open dialogue and we want to hear what you guys have to say. That's the thing about having a podcast. We never really get to hear how you guys feel about it unless you, like, comment and get back to us. Yeah, like, we would like to hear more from you guys.
Our guest has just entered the Zoom waiting room.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Aaron Zarabi. All right, let's admit him to the, you know,
hey, little detail
recording. Or, like, the most, we, like, no ethics as podcasters or journalists, but, like, all we do is preach about.
Hey, what's going on?
Ethics. Hi, Aaron. Did you hear
yeah,
that?
I heard the ethical part.
He was here the whole time. Millie's, like, little.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
As you're entering the room. Okay. So welcome, Aaron Zarabi, to Persian Girl Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like, I'm more excited than I originally was because I saw one of your comedy videos on what is it? iFictional Hard Drive. What, there's, like,
it's like,
no shit post Millie.
What's it's so Persian of Millie to compliment you while she also insults you. She's like, I wasn't excited at first, but now I am. It's just like the most perfect thing.
No, I mean, I think it's called If I Die, Recover My Hard Drive, the account. But anyways, I mean, so it was a TikTok that you made, but that's, yeah, and your TikTok account name was on there. So I thought it was funny that you were like, credit me. I mean, I was there for the drama, but you kind of were already credited.
Okay. I love the drama.
So yeah, we shouldn't introduce you by just someone who makes TikTok. So Aaron, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do? How cool. old are you?
Yeah, I just turned 30 a few days ago, actually. There you go. I was waiting. Someone had to say it. I'm a stand-up comedian. I live in New York City, born and raised. Now I'm doing TikToks, I guess. I guess that's my new thing.
tell us your cross streets so our fans can stalk you.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but when I have a show, just check out my Instagram, my TikToks. I'm sure someone will be able to find me and murder me, which is what most people want to do.
So you grew up in the city as well?
Yeah. I grew up in Queens.
We're in Queens.
I grew up in Kew Gardens.
That's right where Anna. Pizza.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, my friend lives around the corner from Danny's.
Yeah, I used to live down the street. So good.
Oh my god, Natalie in the early episodes wouldn't stop talking about Danny's.
It's the best.
I go through phases that people like to make fun of me for, especially like our listeners. They like to like write little like reviews on the podcast app. They're like, Natalie won't stop talking about pizza. And then like a few months later, it's like, Natalie won't stop talking about Israel. And then like a few months later, it's like, Natalie won't stop talking about like herself. I don't know.
But you know, actually we were in a podcast based in Iran where they had to bleep out all the times Natalie said Israel. Cause like they were literally would get killed by.
Okay, sorry, Palestine.
Well, you can just say it's your last name.
Oh, actually, it's funny. No, it's not actually my last name. I'm using my cousin's laptop, and her last name is Israel.
Oh, right.
My last name is actually Cord. My last name is Sanadaji, and like Sanadaji is a city in Kurdistan.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah.
Which should give me a lot of clout in Iran, because that it's not a Jewish last name.
I don't think you can get clout in Iran as a woman. I'm sorry.
Fair,
I don't think it's legally
point.
Allowed.
Like women going to jail like for having clout.
Yeah, exactly. That is
I found out being lesbian is less punishable in Iran than being gay. For being a lesbian, if you get caught in a lesbian act, it's 100
yeah,
whips.
Of course.
But if you're caught in a homosexual male to male homosexual act, it's a hung.
Well,
it's hung.
Two reasons. One, most guys, I don't want to say most, but there's many closeted gays, and then also men prefer lesbian porn. So I mean, it makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wow, I guess it all boils down to like horny Iranian men.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, this I could look at.
And like the
and then let's throw some like
getting,
BDSM
like, whipped. Wait, you just stole my joke. Fuck you. I was trying to get there.
Gotta be faster. It's hard to be a quick on jokes on Zoom because you're like, can I
speak? The internet
lagging. It's like, it's not fair. You stole my joke because my thing was lagging.
Okay. Well, do you want to tell your joke? I was gonna do one of my graceful segues that you love to.
Okay. Segue. Why don't we just say segue and then you should segue?
Yeah, segues are tough. I mean, either you blend right in or you're like, speaking of that.
No, well, I was gonna say, like, speaking of, I think we just said something really offensive.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if there's any boundaries.
No, we have no boundaries.
Okay, good.
I did a small content warning that I put into the beginning of our last episode. I could start doing that from now on.
I think anything I'm tied to, you definitely, you know, you want to be careful, especially with Persian stuff. I mean, I've lost 500 Persian followers in the past year. So
oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, you might not have the right guest. Just letting you know.
No, you are the right guest.
People come here for the controversy. People come here for the controversy. Nobody's coming here for polite Persian bullshit talk. Like,
good. I like that.
We came here to stir the pot.
Great.
Yeah, so Natalie found you on TikTok.
Oh, yes. This is another one of my TikTok conquests, guys.
Nice.
Just so you know, this is what I do. Instead of going to bed on time, I stay up until 2 a.m. on TikTok to find guests for my listeners. So
it's a good way to do it.
But that the way that sounds though, like, oh, if we found you on TikTok, can you at least find like some young men that we can groom? Like, what are you, get your priorities in line? Like, you brought some 30-year-old, like,
whoa. I mean, I am married, so I don't take offense to it, but I mean, you could be a little polite.
I'm Millie, I'm sorry I didn't find you a doctor.
No,
I'm definitely did not.
I was under the impression Aaron was single. I can't believe I brought a freaking married guy on TikTok.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's all right. We can cut that part out. You know?
The podcast is strictly for Khastegari. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Can't you see how well we're presenting ourselves?
That's why I get dressed up so
much. Is this a matchmaking podcast? I mean, I have wedding pictures over there.
Every Jewish event is a singles event in disguise.
Good to know.
Yes.
I don't go to many Persian events, so I'm not as experienced as I used to.
Is your wife Persian?
No, she's as white as they come. I mean, that's the Persian move.
Yes, of course. To go after a nice sefid.
Yeah, get some better jeans in the pool. You know, I mean, look at my nose. My children need to have some hope.
Yeah. So what I was saying, Natalie found you, and then, you know, leading, like, we spoke a couple weeks ago, and then leading up to this interview, I've been, like, watching your videos and also, like, looking at the responses. And I guess, like, I'm probably not the right person to judge, but I just thought they were funny. But I began to realize that there was kind of a backlash towards you. And I want to have kind of a discussion today about censorship in comedy these days and how you're dealing with that as someone who's, you seem a bit provocative and politically incorrect.
Quote. Yeah, I mean, quotes. My wife is not to, I'm sorry, let's cut this out. I'm single. My ex-girlfriend, no, my wife is in marketing, and she's always like, you know, you got to appeal to a broader audience. But my whole thing is, you know, I've learned from doing stand-up is the stuff that's going to do the best, at least on a long-term basis, is what makes you laugh. And I love, you know, stuff that you're thinking that you might not say at a job interview or something. So those are the types of videos and comedy I try to do. And I've recently tried to do that with a Persian crowd. And yeah, they didn't like it.
Yeah, Persians aren't that good at laughing at themselves.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like I've gone to Persian stand-up shows and, like, you know, they're making fun of Persian culture, but I guess it's very high level stuff.
They're very stuff. PG.
I yeah, exactly.
Like Maz Jobrani, like, oh, I'm Persian, like the cat, like meow, and like, or like Maximini, like,
right, yeah, I mean, those
like
are the
with
ones
the tomato juice. You know, it's not, or like, I'm not a typical Persian girl, but it's never. I feel like it's never really that aggressive or like that, like, mean.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's not that it's about mean. It's not. I don't think it's ever about when it's mean. I think it's like when something is closer to a truth. That's when it starts.
Yeah.
To,
that's like, what I was going to say.
So, can you give us an example of? I don't
like
know
a joke
something
that really that made
or
you
like
lose
a
like $400.
Yeah, a common
like,
trope
really
featured
bad
in your comedy that has.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I've lost the 500 Instagram followers. I haven't figured that out yet. Every time I post, I lose a Persian follower. So I'm like,
maybe it's just your nose. Maybe it's not even.
It could be. It could be that they're like, we can't. It's like looking in a mirror. but on TikTok, I on January 1st, I decided I'm going to post on social media every day. So Mm-hmm. Part of that was figuring out something that I could repeatedly do. So I was going to do Farsi Fridays. And the second week I was like, you know what, let me test the waters. And I talked about, you know, in a very obviously sarcastic way, but I guess if you don't finish the video, you can't tell that it's sarcastic. But I was talking about how some Iranian people might call Asians Cheshtang, and mm-hmm. people flipped out. First of all, people were like, I've never heard of this. So I started asking people, I'm like, don't we say this? Like, did I get this wrong? I know it's like a racial slur, but don't people say that? Yeah. I just
wait until they find out we called Hispanic people Lubia.
You might lose some followers now. Don't put this on TikTok.
I think we've mentioned this before. It's fine.
I mean, there are slurs, and I think what's funny about some languages is the direct translation. You know what I mean? So I thought that was funny, and there's hundreds of comments of people, you know, basically telling me to kill myself. But you know what? I left it up. I was like, fuck it, I don't care.
You know, this has come up, like, it's never been the sole focus of an episode, but, you know, we could do that for anyone who's listening if you would like us to do so. But we've talked about those kinds of Iranians, Persians, whatever, who they use those terms. And, I mean, the thing is, like, these terms, everything in the language, like, the way we communicate with each other is always an insult, but it's endearing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you call your pet like korechar, like you say like something, you know, or like even to your, like, that's just the way it is. So I don't,
or like the fact that my dad calls me fag.
Yeah. Like, I don't, it's just, yeah, like an insult to one. Himself. Right. Like, because right. He's literally, yeah. Your pet. So
like
I
your
think
the dog,
like, we're making fun of it because I think I could comfortably say that I'm not racist and I don't use those terms in like in that way. But at the same time, like, yeah, there are people who sure also use those words and they legitimately are racist. But it's like, yeah. It's become way too sensitive to even talk about that. You can't say it at all.
You can't even
think of it. And it's like, why are you so scared? Like, maybe you're racist.
That's the
I
thing.
Agree that I'm not afraid, like, to say it because I know that. I'm not racist.
Yeah, everything out of context is, you know, a disaster. And that's the thing about TikTok. It's a little snippet. And if someone doesn't, you know, I do a lot of Jewish videos and there's always people commenting like, you can't say that. I mean, I even got posted as the asshole of the week on antisemitism.org. And I was like, I messaged them. I was like, I'm Jewish. I've literally had two bar mitzvahs. Like, I had one when I was 13, one in Israel. Like, I'm circumcised. Like, you got to support Jewish comedians. And they replied with the most Jewish mother response. They just wrote, shame on you in caps. Like, so that's amazing. You can be an anti-Semitic Jew, which I'm sure there are, but
wait, when we post this episode, can we repost our story? Like, and this week we have on, and then we'll repost
the asshole of the anti-Semite of the week.
Yeah, definitely. I had it's a huge page. I think they have like, you know, over 100,000 followers. So I started.
What an honor.
Let's repost them. I know. I want to be posted on the asshole of the week.
I can't believe that we're sitting across virtually across
from the asshole of the week. I feel so like honored.
So there's a video of a literal neo-Nazi and then me doing a TikTok. So
Wait, that's amazing.
It's an honor. Yeah, it came as a shock, but you know, I'll wear it. I was gonna say I'll wear it as a badge, but maybe that's too
much. Oh my god.
That might be too far. I got scared though. I saw this at like midnight. I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I start getting messages of people like really pissed off, and I was like, you know, I need to go online, hide my LinkedIn, like hide anybody who can find real information because you don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, doxing is a common practice.
Yeah, exactly.
In the cyber spaces. So, no, that's a legitimate fear.
Can you imagine like a group of like neo-Nazis like they think you're their new leader and they like show up at your doorstep and they're like, come on, let's read. We're ready. Let's go.
Yeah,
like,
Aaron.
That actually sounds like a great movie. And you're just a scared Jew, so you have to like lean into it. That's a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, oh, that is it.
Yeah, when he was the
I've seen every Seinfeld episode.
It was when George, they took the limo.
Oh my God, when George is in the limo, yes.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I think that he wrote the book. And yeah. He has like, go give this speech. And he, I saw that one. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, leave it to Seinfeld and Larry David. They've thought of everything already.
Yeah.
I know, it's so cruel. I mean, sometimes I think like, what would I do if I just ran into Larry David? I don't know why I fantasize about that a lot. Is that weird?
Fantasize about that because you are the female Larry David. That's like the best compliment I love to give Millie. Like anytime she feels like down, I'm just like, you are Larry David.
It's a great compliment. He's the man.
It makes me feel lonely, I guess. He's a very lonely guy.
He just got married.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Why do I know that? I know too much about Larry David.
I hope not to someone like much younger. That would be depressing.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah. I think she's 19 or something. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No,
but she's
stop.
Definitely younger. She's definitely younger.
Well, I mean, we all know
he's
that.
He's not that old, right? He looks older than he is.
Yeah.
But he's definitely like 70.
He has to be at least 70-something.
Yeah. He's the man. He's like one of those Jews who was able to get black fans. So he like crossed that barrier of like, that's when you become a real superstar. When like people are talking about you in rap songs.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's the barrier of fame for me.
Well, I mean, look, you're now on Persian Girl Podcast, right? You're getting there.
Oh yeah, this is a step up.
This is a pivotal moment.
Yeah, we're all in our.
No, I was gonna say, I don't know if this is like a bichod question, but do you feel like growing up, did you feel more culturally Jewish or Persian? Like, what do you lean towards? Like, what was your family like?
I mean, yeah, you know, super Persian at home, all Persian food, you know, spaghetti with ketchup and all that, only speaking Farsi at home. But
I'm sorry, whose families are having spaghetti with ketchup? Is this a real Persian thing?
That's wild. In Iran, they're
ketchup
obsessed
on pizza,
with it, apparently.
Like,
yeah, it's definitely a
that's
thing.
That's so gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but yeah, great to trash on my childhood. I mean, the thing is, when I was growing up, I wasn't in a very Persian neighborhood, which I feel like a lot of people grow up around a lot more Persians than I did. So
yeah, you grew up more around like Bukharians and Russians.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm in Queens, so it's a lot more of a melting pot. So
yeah,
I also wasn't around a lot of Jews, so I feel like I'm more of a New Yorker than I am than like if Persian. Obviously, the Persian community has not accepted me yet. They're doing the opposite. So I'm not Persian enough for Persians. I'm the anti-Semite of the week. So I'm not Jewish enough for Jews. So it's kind of like, I feel like that's a New York dilemma though. You're always like, someone's like always asking you, where are you from? You're like, I'm Italian. You know what I mean? Even though like your great grandparents were from New York, you know what I mean? But you always want to be from somewhere else in New York. But I don't know. Maybe I'll be more Persian after this.
Yeah, next time someone tells you you're not Persian, I'll be like, I was on Persian Girl Podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Come at me, bitch.
Yeah, maybe it's a Persian Jewish thing.
I think it is a Persian Jewish thing.
They're very prideful in being Persian. So like if you're ever even 1% something else, they're like, oh, but you're not really Persian. And I'm like, well, then what am I? Like, tell me what I am, please.
Yeah. Do you speak like perfect Farsi?
No,
we were just having
this.
Yeah, I do think the Farsi not speaking fluently is a big thing in the Farsi communities or the Persian communities. Like my uncle owns a Persian supermarket in Long Island, and I used to work there in the summers, and someone came in I understand everything in Farsi. They ask me for something and I speak to them in English. And this guy, I remember once, got so pissed. He had like some inner demons. He just went off on me that I didn't speak perfect Farsi. And I was like, just take your cheese. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why it's, I guess it's maybe, you know, they want to hold on to the culture by being, you know, not in Iran, but I don't know.
Yeah. They almost take it as like an insult that like,
right,
you should feel so fortunate. Like, honestly, I love being Persian. Like, I do feel fortunate to be born into such a rich culture. Like, I don't know. You look at like some like American people and they're just like so desperate to like be something, even though they're seventh generation American, that they're like, yeah, I'm 2% Irish and I'm 3% Italian and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I do feel fortunate to be born in such a unique, like interesting, rich culture. But like, they literally get offended if you're not like, if you don't act grateful enough to be in it. They're like, you don't even deserve to be Persian. Like, like they just...
There's
like
Millie, wow, in I haven't Africa encountered any Persian.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Well, maybe you're just more Persian than us. Like, that never happened to you.
I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of like the teacher's pet. Like, whenever people are like, oh, like, Farsi mitune harf bezane, and then like, I'll be like, bale, etafakan mitunam harf bezane. Like, bye. No, because I hate when they like, literally, when you meet someone, like when you're with your parents, no matter what age you're at, I feel like you're still always going to be treated like someone who's, you know, still not like, doesn't have social skills yet, is a child, needs a chaperone, and also like doesn't speak any English. Like, you're referred to as if you're not there. You're like, oh, this your daughter? Wow, she's so pretty. Like, I'm right here. Does she understand? Like, what happened? Well, yeah, because I just responded. Like, what?
Oh my god, they seriously do that. They always, they'll ask my parents, like, oh, how old is she? Oh, does she work? Oh, she's single. It's like
we're gonna be like, 40 and they're gonna be talking like this. Anyone who's older, they're just always gonna do this.
Oh yeah. It's my mom still, she was here the other day for my birthday. She was like, make sure you put that food in the fridge. I was like, I pay a mortgage. Like, I'm not going to leave this food out for 3 months. You know what I mean? It's just, it's never going to end. And she's Persian and Jewish. So it's just, it's like a whiplashing on my back.
Yeah, no one understands how intense it is. I wish I had a Muslim mom. They seem so chill.
Yeah, they seem way more chill. Yeah,
maybe from the outside.
No one writes some shit to us about how that's like racist.
You guys would be married like 3 years ago if you had a Muslim mom.
No,
there would have been an arranged marriage.
No, not in America. No.
They're way more Americanized,
you don't think so?
than the Persian.
No,
Jews. Persian
I think because you didn't
grow backwards than Persian Muslims.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, Aaron, yeah. You don't know anything. You grew up in Queens. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you might as well be Seth. You're in New York.
That was my chance of getting my Muslim followers. Gone.
I don't know. Recently, I think my parents have like given up all hope of me being like a normal Persian girl, like getting married at like an appropriate time and whatever. Like, they don't even ask me questions about like, oh, are you dating? Oh, like, are you talking to anyone? Like, they only ask me every Shabbat, every Friday night. My father goes, so you're going out tonight? And I'm like, usually I'll like go out after Shabbat dinner and like I'll go hang out with my friends or go to a party. Like, recently, like, not as much, you know, like, social life has slowed down a little bit. And recently, this past week, my father was like, oh, so you're going out? And I'm like, no, like, not tonight. And then he, like, wanted to mock me, I guess, for not having a life. And he goes, well, I'm going to a party in Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, yeah? He's like, yeah, can you give me a ride and drop me off? I'm like, yeah, when are you leaving? He's like, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what kind of party is it? And then he just, like, kind of, like, he wasn't sure. He like wanted to say something I would go to, but wasn't sure what to say. But yeah, he just like this is what they expect of me at this point. Like, no more questions about like marriage, whatever. Am I dating someone? It's just like, oh, where's the party tonight, Natalie? Which I'm happy about. I'm happy we've come to like an agreement that like they understand what to expect of me now. And now none of us have to be disappointed.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. No more pressure. No, now he makes me feel like a loser for not having a party to go to. He's like, oh, well, I'm going to a party.
Yeah, my mom has gone to like 40 more events than I have this year. Like, what's it with the Gen X and baby boomers? They just don't care about coronavirus. They're like, fuck it. I'm going to go have shots.
Well, maybe this is why they're dying of coronavirus more than young people are. Maybe it's not actually that young people are more immune. Maybe it's just that we care more. Well, not like all of us, but like some of us care more than the older generation.
Yeah, maybe they don't believe it, or maybe they just have such an urge to party with eight other 60-plus-year-olds that...
Yeah, I mean, they're living with urgency. I mean, isn't that why we all have to get vaccinated so 60-year-olds can go to raves or something?
Yeah, we're all going to be the ones who are like, no, oh, I just... The pandemic's over, but I'm still home reading a book, and they're like, I need a ride home!
I was about to say that story that I can't bring. I'm constantly censoring myself on my own podcast. What kind of world?
Why are you censoring yourself? What's the story?
No. Like, not, it wasn't even a story. It was just an anecdote. It's fine. Let's just segue.
Millie has too many loved ones that support her and listen to the podcast, so she can't say whatever she wants anymore.
Yeah, you know when you're like chasing an animal? I mean, I don't know. That's actually really weird to me. But you're and they have nowhere else to run. There's like they reach that end where there's no more exits. Like, that's me. I just keep looking at each side. I'm like, wait, I'm cornered at any possible thing.
Say you're a stand-up comedian and they're like, oh, she's just joking.
Yeah, that works for me. It's just fictionalized.
Yeah, exactly. I say some truth on stage and people are like, what a joker. And I'm like, all right, mom.
Well, so on TikTok, you're getting some backlash, but before the pandemic and doing stand-up in person, how were you received? What was different?
I mean, I had some comments about my stuff on stage, you know, but the thing about doing stand-up is when there's a room full of people laughing and you're offended by something, you feel alienated. You're like, oh, I guess I just don't get it. But when you're watching a video and you don't go into the comments or whatever, you don't have anyone around you to be like, no, that's funny. So I feel like it's intensified. So if I've said things on stage that are, you know, possibly deemed offensive or something, but there's a room of hundreds of people laughing, then I feel like it's a bit more difficult for someone to come out and say something, although it has happened. But not as brutally as when I got on TikTok. Unexpected going on TikTok and people are throwing down in the comments.
And what is your response usually?
I find it hilarious. I mean, if the video has like, you know, 12,000 views and 1,000 likes, I mean, it's hard to get bothered by bad comments. But if the video's bombing and there's a lot of hate in the comments, I'm sure it doesn't feel good.
Well, no, not about like how you feel, but in the sense of like, not that you need to defend yourself, but what is your argument as to why it should be joked about? Like, for example, Joan Rivers, like her whole thing with satire was to be able to, if something is so sad, the only way to move past it and to grow from it is to laugh at it. Like, that's usually the case with that. That's... What's your...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
what's
your definitely...
response if someone's like, oh, this is offensive and this is like, you know, it's for a sensitive group of people? I'm not really sure, actually.
I guess it's, you know, you have the choice of disconnecting yourself. You know, you're not trapped in a room being forced, you know, like Clockwork Orange to watch TikToks. You know what I mean? You can swipe up. You can leave the comedy club. You know, everybody should have the ability to try and make something funny. You know, I think anything can be funny from the right lens. It also depends on who's saying it and how it's represented, but you should have the opportunity to try and make something funny. It's not always going to work. You know, I mean, you can go to any open mic in New York City and literally nothing works because people are trying things out. You know, you should have the ability to try and make something funny. Like Louis C.K., it wasn't, he has that joke about 9/11 where he's like, you know how bad of a person you are for how soon after the towers went down you masturbated. And he was like, for me, it was in between the towers. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a funny joke, but it's offensive. And I'm sure not everybody likes it, but you should have the chance to try and make it funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like that one?
I love Louis C.K.
Yeah, so do I. Like, I feel like personally for me, like, even if something like offends me, I'm not going to tell someone like, oh, that's not allowed. Cause like, who am I to like say only until here are you allowed to be this offensive? Like, who am I to be like, oh, that's only like, only if I find it funny, then it's not offensive. But then like, if I find it offensive, it's not funny. Like, that's just like, I just think that's like kind of hypocritical, because like, we'll say things on this podcast that a lot of people aren't going to find funny and a lot of people are going to find offensive. But like, if we're expecting other people to like take things as a joke and take things lightly, like, I'm not going to go blow up somebody's comments and be like, this is offensive. Like, fuck you. Like, you, freedom of speech. You can say whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Yeah. That's what I don't get. Like, you're offended by something, just move on. Like,
yeah, just I don't understand. Don't watch it. Nobody's forcing you. It's not like I'm blowing up your, like, imagine like you were blowing up someone's computer and you kept popping up on every screen in their life and they had to listen to you say these jokes. Like, you're not doing that. Nobody's forcing them to come watch you.
You're not banging on their door screaming through the mail slot, you know, racist jokes. Like, just move on. Imagine. You know, if you don't like it, you can go watch something you like, you know. I understand if it's just something completely meant to offend with no attempt at humor or, you know, just a malicious thing. But when it's somebody trying to make something funny and there are plenty of people who agree that, hey, this is funny or entertaining to me, then just move on. You know, you have better things to think about. Like, especially now in the comedy scene, there's, you know, people getting destroyed for trying to make a joke. I mean, Twitter is the worst because you can scroll to when someone just started comedy and you'll find jokes that have bombed and, you know, people will get destroyed for it.
Also, I feel like once one person makes like a comment saying something is like offensive, anyone else who wanted to say something automatically feels that much more inclined to also join in and be like, yeah, fuck this person. Like, yeah, this is offensive. But like, if there was like, if nobody else said anything, like, a lot of people would just like let it pass and just be like, whatever.
Yeah, probably. It's a herd mentality.
Yeah. I always like to make fun of Millie. Like, anytime we post TikToks, like, a few days later, I'll just like look at whose TikTok is doing better, and Millie's always gets more views, but mine always get more likes and comments. And Millie attributes it to the fact that apparently people love to hate her and that her content is just so great that they don't want to give her credit for it. So they don't want to like it and comment on it. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever makes you feel better about yourself.
I mean, She's watching it.
Yeah, you're in the algorithm. You're watching it. It's all about the algorithm. I mean, you got it.
Oh, no. I mean, I've had my fair share of being shadow banned and stuff like that for not even saying anything, attacking any groups, just expressing my views on like meme posts. So I'm actually not on such a good algorithm at the moment because a bunch of people reported me on Instagram, my personal account.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I just commented something. Yeah.
Damn.
About it was something like slight, you know, critical of the Biden administration, and I don't understand why I'm not allowed to like uphold Democrats to the same level of criticism as I would with Republicans. So, you know, that kind of
political
stuff,
it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Risky, it's over. Very risky.
So yeah, we won't even open that can of worms.
Well, hey, I was the anti-Semite of the week. I'm sure I've got hundreds of reports on my account. I mean, people were literally, I got so many messages. One person told me I needed to get circumcised again. Like, that's
wow. Yeah, I'm so jealous. Hard. That's kind of
and
amazing.
I was like, I took it as a compliment. I'm like, if you think I have that much extra skin to share, I mean, you know, thank you.
I but... hope that's what you replied to. Like, I hope.
I did. That is what I said. I made a video.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
it's just at a certain point, I feel like people just keep going because they don't want to admit how ridiculous they were. So they're just like, I'm just going to keep at it. Like, at a certain point, it's just like, oh, this guy's name is Aaron. Like, do we not, like, can we not come to the conclusion that he's not the anti-Semite of the week? That there's probably at least one other person out there who hates Jews more than you do, like, in the whole world.
The group of people that I was put into is just...
A neo-Nazi.
The video after me was a guy dressed up as a Holocaust survivor, and he was like, when Jews go in the shower, I was like, how am I in the middle of these two people right now? I have hashtag I am Jewish on the damn video.
So what was the joke you made?
So there's this Hasidic like 17 year old on TikTok. He's got a big account.
I know who you're talking about, that he like always has stacks of money and he's like racks on racks. I'm gonna throw stacks like on these bitches.
No, I never heard of that guy.
Okay, never mind.
There's one guy, he's a bit more tame than that, but his whole thing is about answering questions, but he leans into the stereotypes of the question. So one was like, do Jews control the banks? And he was just laughing. So I stitched it where I was laughing, and then I wiped my tears with money. And apparently that's worthy of asshole of the week.
That's it?
That's so it. Funny. It's not even that.
I thought this was, like, no offense, I thought it was going to be way more controversial than that.
I didn't make that thinking, like, let me push some buttons. I was like, I need to post today. Let me do some Jew shit, you know? And then lo and behold, I got some hate.
Wait, that's so funny. That's it.
That's it.
That puts you on the same level as a neo-Nazi for sure. I completely understand their train of thought now.
Yeah, now
it could be because all makes sense. Right. It could be because at the end of the video I said Heil Hitler, but it has mostly it's gotta be
I really took you seriously.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that joke bombed. There's also a lag. There's like 2 seconds where I'm like, is there going to be a laugh or not?
It's okay. I got it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Millie's eyes.
Well, there's another thing related to, there's the new thing is the COVID high five.
Is that a TikTok thing?
No. That joke bombed.
See, now I took you seriously. I was like, oh my god,
no, it's
do
not
you
a new
live in a hotel, what is that?
Oh, I think you're muted.
You lost her.
I'm staying at my cousin's place and she they have like a cart that you can use to bring up your groceries. It's way fancier than my apartment in Great Neck. I guess the building manager just stole some of the shopping carts from the grocery store down the block. So we just have like 3 shopping carts in the garage for all the neighbors that want to bring their groceries upstairs.
Wow. Now I'm in Queens. We just have a Mexican guy who throws all these bags on a stick over his back. And he'll do it for $1.
Let's bring that back. I think those are so fashionable. Like Bugs Bunny would do that, right?
Wait, oh my God. I saw a post recently that I don't know if it was in Ukraine or in Poland. I forgot where it was, but like 50 years ago or something, when people would get too drunk, bars had a designated man that had like a big backpack that could fit humans in it. And he would walk drunk people home. like if a customer at the bar was too drunk, like you would like get like kicked out, quote unquote. Like they had a carrier man that carried you home.
If it fits a human, it's still called a backpack. I mean,
I don't know.
There's got to be another term for it.
I think that's pretty cool because if I'm a girl, not that I really wear heels anymore at all. Like I think once I hit the age of like 21 and I legally could get into bars without trying to look older, I just like stopped wearing heels. But when I used to wear heels to bars, it would have been nice to have a human to carry me home when I was too drunk. I wish that we had that in America.
You do, but you have to get roofied first.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh boy, we're into it now.
We need you on the podcast where you just need to be sitting in the background and like say something fucked up to like
wait. Oh my god, every, yes, could
you know, like wait, on talk shows, how there's like that guy.
Could we invite you on to like do like me and Millie for a while now? Like we're just so popular that we've had so many people lined up to come on episodes, and we've been just waiting. We've just been waiting for a week where it could just be me and Millie because we love doing episodes just the two of us. Right. But would you like to come on and be in the background and just do a little commentary and say really fucked up things?
Yeah, I'll just snipe some jokes here and there.
Wait, I think that's an amazing idea. If you're down, we're down.
Yeah, I'll be like I'll be like a mascot on the show or something.
Yeah, you'll be our asshole.
It'll be like a picture of my nose with eyes. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
We'll get some nice Eastern European graphic designer to, okay, now I need to. I feel like I'm not even making it funny. I'm just like
and now it's racist, now we're offended.
So is your wife Jewish?
No, I went just as far away as I could, just a Christian white woman.
Basically, Aaron would just, he's trying to tell us he would never go for someone like us.
I mean, I'm not.
Jewish, Middle Eastern, high maintenance. I think it doesn't get more high maintenance than not just, I think like Ashkenazi Jewish girls, their standards like are way lower. Like they'll take more shit. Nothing is more high maintenance than a Middle Eastern Jewish girl.
Is that true? Can you
I think
confirm?
That's what people believe to be true. No, I like to think that I'm not a typical Persian girl, you know?
Right.
So I like to think that I'm not that high maintenance. But I think boys tend to assume that you are automatically high maintenance Jewish and Middle Eastern.
If you're going to get
into a
relationship.
I don't like this conversation. Sorry, I just need to put something out there. As women, we have lowered the bar so much for men. I don't even want to entertain this idea of us being high maintenance.
Yeah, I don't. When guys just like, do you ever, like, you never find yourself, like, in your head being like, oh, that was so nice. And then a minute later realizing, like, that should just be normal.
That's just what we expected, yeah. Like, well, you seem like a nice guy, Aaron. I don't know.
I thought Persian guys were like romantic. You know, you go hand over foot for a woman. All these songs.
Obviously, you've never dated a Persian man.
Not yet. Yeah. I was going to be my second marriage.
Queens. Obviously, you have never dated a Persian man.
Yeah, you can interview my wife. We'll see.
Yeah, but you're not a typical Persian guy. You grew up in Maine. You don't even speak Farsi. Like,
yeah, I'm definitely
your
not.
Wife, the... Your wife can't actually say she's married.
That's
to
true.
A Persian man. Now just, I sound like all
visibly.
The older
yeah,
Persian
you...
people who tell you you're not Persian.
We've gone full circle.
We have gone full circle. Now I am the older Persian person telling you, being offended that you're not Persian enough.
So your family was on board with that? They were chill. They didn't like try to crucify you or anything.
Well, I mean, technically, I got legally married before my family knew, so I don't think they really had a choice at that
point. Oh, wow. You're really not a typical Persian.
Okay. Oh, my God. Did your mom, I feel like your mom would just be like, huck to Sarah, to, like, you, like, got married without telling me, like.
Yeah, she was a little upset. Wow.
Are you, a little. Are you comfortable to talk about it? Or maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a long distance relationship and I wanted to move over there to live with her, and the only way was that I had to get married. So I was like, let's just get married. It's like a legal marriage. If it doesn't work out, you know, we'll just sign the papers that it didn't work out. We didn't really treat it like a marriage.
Where did she live?
In Iceland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I lived over there for a few years.
Oh, okay. I think, yeah, you had a blog post about that or something. Wait, tell us about your years in Iceland. What?
Yeah, it was
brought you there. I mean,
before I moved there, people were like, you know, it's the darkness. They're like, you know, it's not you, it's the darkness. I was like, what are they talking about? And then, like, after my first winter, I was like, it's the darkness, because there's no sun from like September until April. There's like almost no sun, and then right in the middle of it, like.
Like, how many hours of sun a day, like, from September to April?
I mean, in the middle of it, there's, like, 2 hours of sunlight.
What? Yeah.
So, it's really brutal, and I was working from home, so.
How high are the suicide rates in Iceland?
Really high, yeah.
I can imagine.
It's pretty brutal. But other than that, it was great. I mean, right when I moved there, they opened the first comedy club. Shout out Secret Cellar. So that was awesome. I started their first weekly show and it was sold out every night, every week. So it was a great experience. Yeah, it was a lot
of fun. It's so exciting in Iceland.
Yeah, and there's so many tourists. So the audience would be people from all over the world, which is a great way to test out jokes. Because when I started in New York, everything would be about, you ever see this on the subway? Which it's not going to work in Texas. You know what I mean? So it helped me, you know, realize that if you want to be original, you got to talk about yourself because nobody's you, you know? So it was a great learning experience there.
And did you meet her? Like, did she come to one of your shows and she just like fell in love with this like dorky Jewish Persian boy from Queens?
Yeah, no, we met on Tinder. Just like most,
okay.
Most love stories. Yeah, she was
you
visiting.
Went all the way to Iceland to just meet a girl on Tinder.
No, like, she was visiting in New York, and then we started dating, and then she left, and we did the long distance thing.
Wait, so you moved to Iceland to be with her?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you are so not a
Persian. Guys are romantic.
No, like any Persian man would be like, I am the man, I make the money, you have to follow me wherever I go. Like, you went to Iceland for a girl?
Yeah, why not?
She has not dated a Persian man, but like, you're amazing. Like, you moved all the way to Iceland for her. You moved to a place where you get 2 hours of sunlight for like months at a time.
That's yeah. Because she's your sunshine.
Wow. Wait, ew, Millie. Oh, that's so gross.
Is that how you end the show?
Well, yeah, on a sweet note, you know. Well, that's like everyone. I know a lot of family members who say sunshine. Anyways.
Sunshine. You are my sunshine.
I've how many times before. We end this episode while I say that word. I won't let it happen again. So tell our listeners how they can keep up with you and your work.
Yeah, check me out on Instagram. Unless you're Persian, then just unfollow me. You can check me out on TikTok, and I have a new podcast on YouTube and Apple Podcasts everywhere. It's called Your Boys. So check that out. Yeah.
Oh, I heard a snippet from your podcast where you do something really stupid that sounds like something I would have done, where you like drove your car mirror into a mailbox and then it hit the window and the glass from the window shattered in your friend's face.
Oh yeah, that that happened, and that's how we started a trip. So that was a good way to start. I cried on the side of the road. me and four of my friends, and I'm just standing there crying, like, oh, I broke your trust. And he's like, you did.
Yeah, that was fun. My god!
You can hear about that type of stuff on my podcast. Emotional.
Yeah, we'll link everything.
Yeah, I was gonna say you should check out our podcast, but you're already on it.
I'm checking it out live.
Yeah, you guys can also find Aaron on antisemitism.org or something. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, neonazioftheweek.com.
Yep. I'm trying to get on there again. The last video got removed. I got enough people to report it, which was nice. But yeah, hopefully I'll be there on there again. I'll let you guys know and we can do another interview. Yeah,
it was an honor to have you. All of you.
Thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun. You guys are great.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you for coming on.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Right, bye.
Bye. Bye.